Talk Radio 790 KABC, Peter Tilden at 10 continues hour number two. Thanks for joining us. Brought to you by, of course, Larry Miller and Sit and Sleep. He'll beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free. I've got the news quiz coming up in a bit, and you will get a chance to win, amazingly, a four-pack of tickets to Knott's Merry Farm for the rides and the Christmas Craft Village, and it snows there, so I'll send you there, or the Body World's Pulse exhibit, which is the largest Body World's exhibit in a decade with new real human body specimens at the California Science Center. So I'll give you a four-pack of that, give you a chance to win either of those. Joining me now, Arnold Steinberg, political analyst and author of the book Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. And as a matter of fact, Arnold has run, hundreds of races, right?
I've been involved in hundreds.
Hundreds of races and campaigns, and he's going to be speaking tonight at the Nixon Library from 7 to 8 o'clock. And he's going to talk about the history of political conservatism and answer questions.
Let me talk about Nixon.
And Nixon, okay. And how he impacted what you're seeing now, how we became who we are today.
Exactly, because if you look at why he was impeached, president since then have misused the FBI, misused the IRS, and all these things that he supposedly did that were so awful.
So get a chance to see Arnold in person between 7 and 8 and check out the Nixon Library. Go to the Nixon Library online, and you can see all the information.
In New York, Belinda.
So there you go. Roy Moore, this election tomorrow is a huge election for a number of reasons. I mean, the GOP's got an issue on their hands. The Democrats are going to be using this for the entire midterm election to say, look at this heinous guy. This is a guy. Look what his stance said about homosexuality, about slavery. Look at all the accusations. And this is who they want in office right now. And I don't know if the polling is accurate or not, because these kind of elections where you got such a lightning rod candidate, people don't always answer questions truthfully.
Well, you could find a way in polling to make sure they answer by having a series of questions, kind of like when you go to the optometrist who does an eye test. Having said that, I think that what makes it difficult is that there's great volatility. We don't know how opinion is shifting back and forth, whether people turn on the news and they're influenced by the latest sexual harassment accusation or not.
But he's known down there. I mean, they know who he is for a long time.
I think what we're seeing is the quintessential expression of expediency that Americans individually claim they do not pursue, which is most people don't vote character. Most people vote for the person close to them in political views, and they rationalize. And that's what we're seeing there. If he wins, there are a whole bunch of people who are holding their nose and saying, you know, I'm not happy with him.
But here's the deal. They're going to pay for that. Like Mr. Shelby, he's going to have a partner in the Senate, in Shelby, who said, I can't vote for him because this puts out the message that this is what Alabama is like. We're trying to woo business. We're trying to woo high tech here. And you got a guy who's talking about homosexuality and slavery.
What they got to vote for is they get his vote on a few important things there. And then some more stuff comes out on him that they can rationalize kicking him out.
Well, you know this, more stuff. When you say wink, wink, nod, nod, more stuff comes out about him. His own party will make sure more stuff comes out about him.
Well, what I'm saying is there's no love lost, not just between McConnell, but some of his colleagues there. And not because he is some, you know, child molester and all this, which I think is actually a great exaggeration of even what he supposedly did. But, you know, he simply is a little bit off the charts.
He's way off the charts.
And not because he's some sort of tremendous conservative patriot and all the rest there. It's not because of his views. It's just because, you know, this is the guy who in today's day and age is talking about in dialogue whether or not we might imprison homosexual adults for private behavior between them.
Yeah, it's pretty stunning. So are you fascinated that the president waited, and he waited and waited and waited. His daughter came out against it. Kellyanne Conway came out against it. And then the president, when he smelled that there could be a win there after losing there, being embarrassed by Luther Strange, now sees that Moore can win. He knows that his tax plan needs the vote. He can't afford to give up.
I think what we need is an Abbott and Costello who's on first routine. You know, we have the Strange candidate lost. We have a flake in Arizona who doesn't like the president, you know, and we got Moore. It's bizarre.
So, but what's going to happen with the president?
I think they need his vote, and I think that he probably will win, but we don't know.
So Obama making calls. They sent out a robocall with Obama. Does that help?
I think the Obama robocalls, if they somehow were able to just have the calls, not have the publicity, would be better. Obama is really disliked in that state, and they're targeting the calls. The question is, how do you have a robocall from a president without word getting publicity? They've kept a lot of Democrats out of the state because the more the race is nationalized, the more the Democrats stands to lose.
But they're quietly spending a lot of money.
spending.
How do they do
they've
that?
Outspending, they've been outspending more because Moore's money was held up when things were in abeyance.
Arnold, how do they keep this out of the national media that they spent this kind of money? Lots of groups are spending lots of money there. If you snoop around, you just found out that Obama was making the call.
Well, the key is having the money spent effectively without getting the bad press of who's paying for it. And, you know, that's why these disclaimers, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to paid for by.
So did the Democrats win either way?
Right now, the Democrats win either way because they've got a punching bag and because they want to keep bringing up the accusations against Trump, and this gives them a way there. But there is also a risk for the Democrats, which is, you know, I'm not a fan of Al Franken. I can't stand him. I don't like his views. I don't like him as a person. But when I see what he's been accused of, although I think it's discourteous, it's disrespectful, it's you can't condone it, you got to condemn it, and all the rest there, to be kicked out of the U.S. Senate for what he is alleged to have done a few years there, which is, you know, essentially copying a feel and all those things. Bad stuff. Shouldn't be done there. But if that's the standard and the Democrats accept that standard, it's going to give Republicans a chance to get rid of a bunch more Democrats in the House of Representatives.
So that's for sure. That said, what happens now? Because the accusers are out en masse. Today they're on Megyn Kelly. They did a press conference. They're in the news, and the timing is, of course, right there for the Moore campaign. What's going to happen with the president? Because when these allegations were made during the campaign, that was pre-Harvey Weinstein. It's a very different world than a year ago when women come out and make these allegations. So now they're listened to. It's hard to just say, don't believe them, forget it, let's send them on their way. We address, I mean, Sanders, Huckabee Sanders,
that's
already
right.
Said,
and
we address this
what
stuff.
What the president should have done the last few weeks, and it didn't, is simply never be a little bit pregnant, not comment at all. Nobody should comment at all on it. But the minute you comment, you keep the dialogue going.
Well, and he, you know, he's going to tweet about it. You know, he's going to have to address it because I'm sure he's
right. And the tweets tend to be overdrawn so that they elicit a response. Their tweets are not strategic.
Well, and if you read the New York Times piece, which irritated him, which came out on Saturday, and he just addressed it, I think yesterday and today, the allegations that he's drinking 12 Diet Cokes, the fact that he's watching 4 to 8 hours of TV a day. But the allegations are out there now, too, and they're being published everywhere. And like I said, the women are out there in a big way. He's not going to be able to avoid this. How is it not going to become part of the dialogue?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe if he cuts down on the junk food, he'll tweet less.
So what do you do, though? What do you how do you handle it? How does the campaign handle these women?
The campaign, you don't mean the campaign, you mean the
incumbent. Not the campaign, the president, yes.
Yeah, and I said, I think what they need to do is just stay away from it, you know, totally there, because there is no way to handle it at this point.
So just let it burn out. Hope it limps off in the sunset.
You know, what keeps things alive is if you respond.
Speaking of responding, we, you know, vacillate, because you try and cover all of the stories and all of the moving parts. It's interesting because I didn't report it when I saw it a couple weeks ago, that North Korea, the news story is, we're one tweet away, we're one diss away from war. But the thing that I saw weeks ago was that North Korea also has biotech expertise.
Yes.
That we're concerned the fact that their biotechnology services are advanced enough that they may be able to deliver an anthrax or something worse. And that they have facilities all over that they've been building for decades.
They've been doing that for a long time.
For decades, but they may not be at a point where they can actually deliver that. So that's yet another concern. Where are we with North Korea?
Well, the problem is, you know, with a lot of these things, you don't know unless you test it. If you test it, that means you have a terrible situation there. So nobody knows for sure. What we know is they're bad guys. We know they've been having that stuff for years. We know that they have been collaborating with our enemies in the Mideast for years, exchanging technology there.
So where are we with that? I mean, it's been quiet. We go through days where you hear nothing.
I think that the longer this continues, the more time is actually on our side, because we keep talking about, well, they're developing this, they're developing that. They already have the biochemical stuff there. They already have some nuclear capability delivery. But what we're doing during all this time is we're looking at all sorts of alternatives to support the military, whether it's jamming their computer stuff, whether it's assassinations there, whether it's infiltration. And it's just a closed society, so we can't do what we've done in other areas there. But, you know, we're just beefing up contingency plans after contingency plan.
When you talk about the military, I found this really interesting that the Department of Defense is going to undergo their first ever, and it's stunning that this is their first ever financial audit beginning this month. They had a budget of $590 billion last year. We'll have one of nearly $700 billion next year. They have an estimated $2.4 trillion in assets, but we know the duplication is there, the waste that's there. I've worked with the Department of Defense. I worked for a rubber company, believe it or not, outside of college. And
condoms?
No. Rubber hoses and tile, believe it or not.
I mean, the rubber hoses.
Why would you go there? Why would you go right?
They use at Guantanamo?
Why would you go right there? Yeah. I supplied Guantanamo with all the rubber hoses.
Listen, I listened to your show coming here. You talked about Bank of California. They get, you know,
strippers and
sex and drugs.
Those
I
are
can't
perks.
Even get a donut here.
Those are, and by the way, and you won't. So I had the quote on some tile for the space shuttle, this and that. In the Department of Defense, every office is the spend it or lose it every quarter. You
and
spend everything
not,
you can.
It's better than it used to be because in 1986 they passed Barry Goldwater's legislation to unify the services. And before that, you would have the Air Force, the Army, and so on, all doing the same thing inefficiently in a different way. Whereas now they come together and try to do the same thing together.
But growing up, and Dino knows this in Philly, every other block was an Army Navy store selling all the surplus that was ordered by the Army.
They're still there.
And they're still there. And I remember a 60 Minutes piece when I was a kid, sitting there watching a warehouse that looked like from Raiders of the Lost Ark with no back to it, and the ceiling went to the sky of stuff they ordered that was wasted,
but,
that was never used.
Let's look at the good side. I still have my stuff from the National Guard, and it's still in perfect shape there. Some of the
you haven't gained any weight. Congratulations to
and
you.
And I haven't sold it in Philadelphia.
So they're going to do a real audit of the Defense Department to find out, zero out what they need and find out what their budget should be?
Sounds like fake news to me.
Is that really? It's never going to happen, is it?
You know, the audit would take so long.
Yeah.
Look, things have changed. You know, the personnel cost, the portion of the Pentagon, are much greater than they have because of the volunteer military, the benefits, and so on there. So, you know, a lot of the so-called waste also gets into the personnel area here with the way medical benefits are used, educating kids, but people don't want to talk about that.
Well, I don't know when we're going to have a result of this, but it is fascinating. They're going to do the first financial audit, and in anticipation, I can only imagine how those offices are preparing.
They're going to build the B-2 bomber out here, you know, past Lancaster and Palmdale, and I think each one of those is going to be about $600-700 million.
They think. They never know the real price that's going down.
They should just quote in Bitcoin.
Speaking of prices, what's going to happen to the average listener right now, the average person listening to this radio station? They are rushing this tax bill in the dark of night with handwriting in the margins. No one knows what's in there, and no one knows what they're going to have to cut
and
when they add
trillions.
What they're
going to have to do is after they find out what's in it, you're going to start seeing legislative fixes in January and February to correct errors.
But are they coming, the talk is that they're going to come to make this thing work because it's not neutral as far as spending.
No, it's not only not neutral. I saw something the other day where they were changing the way you as an individual would affect your capital gains. If you sold some stock there, you couldn't pick which of the stock you wanted to sell from the same
stock.
It's
going to be first in, first out.
Right. They were making that. But for mutual funds, it was different. So the mutual fund lobbyists got a difference there.
So all of these guys have gone in there. The lobbyists have done their job. We don't know what's in there. They don't know what's in there. Democrats don't know what's in there. When this hits, when this legislation...
Even the Russians don't know what's in there.
Well, we don't know. You're assuming that. But there are unintended consequences. Are they going to be coming after Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid next? I mean, that's they've got to.
They have to have reforms there. And that's the point. You know, the people on the other side are picking is coming after. You know, when in fact, it doesn't mean you're coming after the old people and the people who paid their dues. A lot of this stuff, it just has fat, has excess, you know, whether it's doctors or whatever. And you have to somehow have some way of controlling or limiting.
A lot of it we know is non-sustainable. On the other hand, folks are waiting to see the promises they were given. They're going to have more money in their pocketbook. They're going to have better jobs for better money.
Well, you're going to see a lot of people who get paid every week or every 2 weeks or once a month see their paycheck increase, and that's what's going to be tangible to them.
Do you think that's going to happen for most of Americans in the middle class?
It's going to happen for a large number of people on salaries, particularly, you know, even if you assume some of these other limitations go through, they're not going to be affected. Like if somebody just says, oh, the property tax deduction is going to be capped at $10,000 a year or whatever. There are a lot of people that are renters or live in homes that don't pay $10,000 a year.
No, I understand that, but people are going to have to start seeing some promises, some things actually come through.
The withholding tables.
And health care? And what's going to happen with health care?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, well, and that's troublesome. The other thing is, and before we go, I just want to wrap up with 2 minutes here. What's happening with the Russian investigation? It looks like the chipping away of Mueller is every day.
He's left himself vulnerable by the kinds of people he's brought aboard there, and what's being left on the table. I mean, when you have this fellow who's Nobody cares that he was involved with the extramarital affair, except that it was with somebody, a fellow person in the bureau there. And all these tweets were indicating his political partisanship. And this is the guy who doctored and changed the report on Hillary.
So Mueller got rid of him. Does that discredit everything that Mueller's doing? And the problem's going to be, here's what I'm looking toward. At some point, Mueller is going to come forward and present, okay? There will be an end to this investigation. Will he be believed? Will it be completely discounted? Are people already discounted?
I question your premise, because how do you define, and some of these things go on for year after year after year after year there, because they interview Tilden, then they interview Tilden's cousin, Tindall's cousin's neighbor, and eventually they get somebody for lying about their mortgage.
Well, but Mueller's smart in that. I don't think he's looking for somebody lying about his mortgage. The latest is that they're looking at the period of time. The 24th is supposedly when Flynn lied. Then the 26th is when the administration was informed that he had lied about the contacts. And then on February 13th is when he was fired. And Mueller's investigation now seems to be centering on that period of time.
Right.
Who knew? Was he directed to lie to the FBI? And why did they take so long, if they're informed of what he's doing, to get rid of him?
That's what I'm saying is, without knowing all the facts, let's just take the worst case. Let's just say he was directed to lie. The worst case there, and it's legally actionable against. You could get an indictment and so on. But from the standpoint of the American people, why was he directed to lie? What did he lie about? It may just be bumbling screw-ups and incompetence there. That doesn't justify it. I'm just saying that what we were led to believe is this tremendous crimes afoot there. And so far, I've seen nothing except, lying in an interview with an FBI agent, which is not good, but, that's not what people are looking for.
And there is a bigger net to see what happened with the Russian hacking into our election and whether they will be punished for it or continue to be punished. There are sanctions in place. The administration, obviously.
Right. And I don't justify it, but all I can tell you is that for all these decades, these foreign countries have been in a different way trying to interfere. They've influenced that. They've had lobbies there. And this country, under the last President Obama, spent a bunch of money trying to defeat Bibi Netanyahu.
Well,
they used foreign aid and various programs there to support groups that were opposed
to
Netanyahu.
So at what point does it become illegal activity? When does it cross the line?
Illegal. It's like the Logan Act, which I don't know when, if anybody's been prosecuted, where they're saying, Tilden, you can't go abroad and deal with a foreign power and undercut the government there. We've had all kinds of people. We've had Jesse Jackson. We've had all these grandstanders go there. They've gone to North Korea. Nobody's been prosecuted. So if you're suddenly going to prosecute somebody now, it's going to be very suspect. Saying we're going to prosecute somebody close to Trump because he dealt with them.
Unless he's got the goods and he's dotted
now,
the I's and crossed the T's.
If you could tie it to money, that's sexy and that's different. You say, John Jones dealt with somebody there to try to make some money off his federal connections. That's different.
Well, we'll see what Mueller comes up with. So you think this is going to be dragging on for a lot longer than I do?
Well, the reason is that because these prosecutors, they just keep following leads to something else. So all of a sudden, it's something having nothing to do with this at all. And they just want to say, hey, we're now up to 12 million, 18 million. So we got to get a few people, like the IRS comes to audit you, and they got to come back with something.
Arnold Steinberg, political analyst, author of Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. He'll be at the Nixon Library tonight from 7 to 8. The history of political conservatism, specifically the Nixon years, and how they echo what's going on in all the years after, how politics works in Washington. Strategist, analyst for hundreds of national and state campaigns, correct?
Correct.
Hundreds.
You talk about how Trump should deal with us. Remember that Checker speech? Your people can go back in history books where Nixon was accused. They were trying to get him off the ticket running for vice president, and he talked about his dog Checkers, and he would never give it back and give it to his daughters, and turned that negative into a powerful
Well, positive. So what you're saying is, I guess, the underlying is that Trump should get a dog. All right, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman at 10 continues hour number two. Thank you, Steve. A little bit of holiday music, because we're there. And I'm going to give you a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to Knott's Merry Farm, where they got the rides, of course, Christmas Craft Village. Snows every night there. So call right now if you want to play the news, because I'll give you a chance to win that. Or, if you choose, Body Worlds, the Pulse exhibit, the West Coast debut of the largest Body Worlds exhibit in a decade, with new real human body specimens at the California Science Center, which I hear is mind-blowing. Give you a family four-pack of tickets to that. You choose, but call now, 800-222-5222. Because we'll be playing the news quiz in just a minute. So if you think your kid is not making money yet, and they're 20, 25, whatever, a six-year-old kid has a thing on the internet. Listen to this, Stephen. It's called Ryan's Toys Review. And what he does is he opens toys and reviews them. Again, he's 6 years old. How much money did he make last year? Opening boxes and reviewing toys. You ready? $11 million in revenue last year. Now, that's gross. Of course, that was before taxes. It began in 2015. He was a four-year-old fan of toy review videos, so he asked his parents why he couldn't also review toys online. So it started in 2015, and last year he made $11 million. The viral video featured Ryan opening, reviewing a giant egg surprise box containing over 100 toys from Pixar's Car series. That one has over 800 million views. So if you got a little kid and he's got opposable thumbs and his head is firmed up enough that there's no soft spot, get him opening gifts, man. Put it out there and you could be making a whole lot of money next holiday season. All right, the news quiz next. Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC News is live and local at 11:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. A Bangladeshi native with a homemade bomb strapped to his body set off an explosion at a New York commuter hub during this morning's rush hour, injuring himself and three others. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it's too easy for terrorists to get bomb-making information on the internet.
You're going to have angry people. You're going to have angry people in New York. There's no doubt about it. We have to start to look at their access to this kind of information that takes a cab driver who's angry and allows them to download a tutorial on how to build a bomb.
The suspects identified as 27-year-old Akayed Ula, who's been living in Brooklyn. The Thomas Fire, which started last week in Ventura County, is now the fifth largest blaze in California history. It's burned over 230,000 acres, destroyed nearly 800 structures. We're hearing 644 of those are homes. That blaze moving extremely fast, according to homeowner Alan Bleeker from Carpinteria.
I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and realized that it was right here in our foothills, so it jumped In a matter of about an hour and a half or 2 hours, it jumped probably 5 miles, which is crazy fast.
The Thomas Fire is only 15% contained. One death blamed on that blaze so far. And you can make a donation to the fire victims through the United Way and Catholic Charities now at KABC.com. And a group of women who have publicly accused President Trump of sexual harassment and assault detailed their accounts of being groped, fondled, and forcibly kissed by the businessman turned politician at a morning news conference. Accuser Rachel Crook said the claims of another alleged victim inspired her to come forward.
When I read the account of Temple Taggart, whose story had so mirrored my own that I finally felt absolved of the guilt that I had somehow projected an image that made me an easy target. Instead, this was serial misconduct and perversion on the part of Mr. Trump.
At least 16 women have accused the president of sexual misconduct dating back decades. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Rams lost to Philadelphia 43-35, but they remain in first place in the NFC West. The Eagles clinched the NFC East, but they lost quarterback Carson Wentz for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Chargers whipped Washington 30-13, so they remain tied with KC atop the AFC West standings. New England, 10.5-point favorite at Miami on Monday Night Football. Clippers host the Toronto Raptors tonight. Ducks home against the Carolina Hurricanes. That's sports on the home of the LA Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more Tilden at 10 next. KABC News Time, 1134.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two. This is where we run through a lot of news stories. You get a lot of information, and somebody gets a chance to win tickets to either Knott's Merry Farm or Body World's The Pulse exhibit at the California Science Center. Let's go. All the lines are lit. Let's go to Laura on the 405 freeway. Laura, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm here.
And where, good. And where's here? Where are you on your way to or from?
I am on my way to court in Van Nuys. I'm a lawyer.
Oh, okay.
I have to tell you, my mom passed away a few years ago, and I haven't been able to find you, and we used to laugh. You were in Canada. I forget where you were. But you moved around a lot, and we used to talk at the end of the day about how much you made us laugh in the morning to drive.
Well, good. That's great. I'm glad that you got to share that with mom. And do you have a big case today? You have a big court case today?
I do not. It's actually my traffic ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you made us laugh.
I'm open to police officer doesn't show up.
All right. There you go. So hopefully they won't, or maybe traffic will delay them. But you know how we do this. It's multiple choice or true and false. And here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the latest person to step aside after accusations of sexual harassment? Was it A. Guy Fieri, B, Mario Batali, or C, Big Bird? A, B, or C?
It was Franken.
No, but you got to pick. You got to pick one of the three. Is it A, Guy Fieri? B, Mario Batali, or C, Big Bird? A, B, or C?
Mario Batali.
Yes, there you go. He has been accused of habitually sexually harassing and inappropriately touching women as he ruled his food empire. Multiple anonymous women alleged in the story by online food trade publication Eater New York that Batali had groped their breasts or buttocks amid other allegations. And just the fact that he wears Crocs still is really creepy. What movie got the most Golden Globe nominations in this morning's announcement? Was it A, The Shape of Water, B, Wonder Woman, or C, Lady Bird? A, B, or C?
A.
Yes. A. Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water, a love story between a lonely woman who happens to be unable to speak, and a monster led all movies with seven nominations. Actually, may go out to see this movie because it's gotten such amazing reviews. They say it's a beautiful, beautiful movie. North Korea recently claimed that President Kim Jong-un can do what? A, walk in the rain without getting wet. B, slam dunk a basketball. Or C, control the weather. Is it A, B, or C?
Oh, my God, they're all ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
A.
It's actually A. C, control, C, control the weather. Come on, help me out here.
Oh, no.
They say there's evidence for his weather modification when Kim ascended to the top of a 9,000-foot mountain through thick snow, wearing his signature double-breasted winter coat and black leather shoes, a blizzard gave way to fine weather unprecedented. He's responsible for this moment of sunshine on what should have been, to a North Korean government statement, a dreary winter day. According to the major retailers, holiday sales of sparkling wine will peak on what day this year? A, December 23rd, B, to December 24th, or C, December 29th? Is it A, B, or C?
A.
It's traditional to pop open a few bottles of bubbles on Christmas and the surrounding days, but if you want to guarantee you'll have enough fizz for the holiday, make sure you buy your bottles before December 23rd. The day is known as Sparkling Saturday. Who knew? Who knew?
I didn't.
Well, good luck with your tickets. Stay on the line, Dino. I'll get you to Dino. And I apologize for that.
Much.
You're very welcome. And I'm glad you found me. I'm glad your mom found me, too. Stay on the line. You're either going to Knott's Murray Farm or to Body World's Pulse exhibit. And everyone else will get a chance to play and learn some more news when we do the news quiz tomorrow here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Nothing like slack key guitar to say Christmas. Talk Radio 790 KABC. There you go.
Is a thing to say.
Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now I'm smiling. Hey, you know what? Christmas with this music, talking about the devastating fires is really tough, Steve. The devastating fires are affecting so many of our friends and neighbors, and maybe you. You can make a donation to aid the fire victims via the United Way and Catholic Charities Now, KBC.com. So you should do that. The newest story right now, and I said it was going to happen because the women accusers were on TV this morning. Then they were on Megyn Kelly, and they're doing the tour. Senator Ron Wyden, the Democrat from Oregon, has called for an investigation into sexual harassment allegations against the president. And then Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who was in the news last week talking about the fact that Clinton should have stepped down and going after Franken, etc., and really being out in the forefront of the sexual harassment movement at this point, said that Trump should step down, and if he doesn't, there should be a congressional investigation. At least 16 women have accused Trump of sexual harassment or assault, and it's back in the news in a big way because the White House kind of wrote it off, but that was before Weinstein. And now in the new normal, it's a bit different how you listen to these women and how you validate what it is that they're saying. The White House is saying, no, they lied. They misrepresented. It's going to be interesting to see today where this goes and on through tomorrow. And then, of course, in light of the election tomorrow, and we'll be covering that from the moment Doug gets here in the morning till the end of the day, because it's a really important, really, really important election. Just a final note, if you're getting Amazon delivered, this is a report out of Britain, but I'm guessing that it's the same over here, same working conditions. Drivers are being asked, Steve, listen to this, to deliver up to 200 parcels a day. 200? How do you do that for Amazon while earning less than minimum wage? They're saying there's so little time for food or toilet stops that they snatch meals on the run and urinate in the plastic bottles that they keep in their vans, and that they're also racing around breaking laws, you know, the speed laws, because they got to get there. And if they come back at the end of the day and they haven't delivered what their quota was with routes that were determined by Amazon, then they get penalized. They either don't get to go out again or they get docked pay, or they're fined or denied future shifts. And they're using subcontractors, apparently, so they can get around all kinds of benefits that they have to pay them. When the report was put out there by the Sunday Mirror, who did the investigation, Amazon reacted to the investigation saying the working conditions were fine, and they handed out chocolates, supposedly, to the drivers, which you need to eat while you're urinating driving. And they also said, hey, we have big events with DJs, and we have all kinds of parties and prizes for our drivers. So what is it? I'd love to talk tomorrow to Amazon. If you're driving for Amazon, I'd love to hear tomorrow how you're doing it. Because I got to tell you, you do call Amazon or you go online and you buy something from Amazon and it's at your house in 18. It's shockingly there either by the end of the day or the next day. How is it getting from the warehouse to me? It is stunning. But somebody is peeing in her van to get it to me, peeing in a bottle all day long to get it to me. So the trials and tribulations of Amazon drivers, pretty amazing as they're trying to be competitive this holiday season and get you your stuff. Because the big thing right now is free delivery, and we can get it to you right away. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to also have Joe reach out to a woman who did the Amazon hallway thing where, you know, they can open your door and leave it in your hallway, and she's got the special gig, the special lock that you have to order and whatever, so Amazon can access it. It's a great story of what happened when she converted to that. So the packages won't be left outside. She actually left cookies and milk out in the hallway to see if they would take. Nobody took it because they're not allowed. And, of course, you have to buy the camera, so you're watching the Amazon guys while they're opening your door to put the stuff in your house. But she had a really, really interesting run at that with the allowing Amazon to drop off goods in her hallway. I'm not quite there yet. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC. You're going to crosstalk with Dr. Drew in just a moment when Peter Tillman 10 continues right after this.